comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The Kevin Smith Show. I am Kevin Smith, your host. We're here because you have a right to know, and because, frankly, you matter. Make sure your seat is in the upright position and your seatbelt is fastened as the KSS Starship takes flight for the next couple of hours into the world of the strange, the mysterious, the unexplained. I want to extend a special welcome this evening to our new affiliate station out in the Nashville, Tennessee area, AM 1610 The Force. We're glad to be on the air in Music City, USA, and glad to be a part of the AM 1610 family out there in the Nashville area. Let me remind you, if you haven't subscribed to our free weekly newsletter, and let me inform you, if you're brand new and you've never listened to the show before, so you don't know about this. We have a free weekly newsletter. It's called The K-Files. It's been around since the year 2000. It must be pretty good because we've got a number of people who subscribed way back then in 2000 that are still subscribed and still getting The K-Files, so it must be pretty good. But it is pretty free, for sure. All right, absolutely free. All you have to do is go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and right in the middle of your screen, you'll see in big letters, K-Files. Click on that. It's going to ask you for your email address, and that's it. So put your email address in there, and then you'll get a automatic response that has a link in it in your email. You have to click that link in order to activate your subscription. Be sure you do that, because if you don't do that, you won't get the K-Files, all right? So be sure you activate your subscription. Let me remind our members, you know, we are a listener-supported show, and it's folks just like you who decide to pony up 23 cents per day. Boy, I know that's extravagant, but 23 cents a day. And it's folks like that all over the world who make this show possible. I invite you to become one of those folks. Let me remind our members that we have a special members broadcast this Saturday. It's a video chat with Marshall Masters. I know from some of the emails that I've been getting that some of you want to ask him, in light of the news that Comet Elanin may be breaking up, does it change any of his views or predictions? Well, you'll get a chance to do that during the video chat. It happens this Saturday. Be sure you check your message box, because in your message box in the members area are the details, all right? Freeman is an award-winning television producer and producer of a number of excellent documentaries available on DVD, and the producer and host of Freeman TV and Freeman Radio. He's very well versed in a number of areas that the mainstream media would call alternative and maybe even esoteric. Well, he's going to join me after this next break. We've got him online, and by the way, he's joining us via Skype video as well, so you get to see him as he talks to us this evening. And he'll do that on the other side of this break. Don't go away. Thank you. welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. As I said, my guest this evening is Freeman. And some of you are familiar with him. I know you are because many of you, have sent me emails, several over the past 2 or 3 weeks, asking me to invite Freeman to be my guest on the show. So I did, and here he is with us tonight. Freeman, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. I'm delighted you're here.
Well, it's fantastic to be here, Kevin.
Let's just sort of begin with your background, because although we have a number of people in our audience that are familiar with you, and we know that because of what I just said, I've been getting emails telling me that they would like to have you as a guest on this show, so I know they know you. But we have folks listening all around the world, and also we have folks that join us for the very first time every night, and they will not perhaps have become familiar with you. So let's begin with your background. Who is Freeman?
Who is Freeman? Good question. I am a free spirit that has been traveling this earth, roaming the parts unknown. I've raised myself through synchronicity to finding amazing events going on planet Earth. I was raised of an unusual family, my father being a worshipful master in the Freemasonic Lodge and chasing flying saucers for Project Blue Book, building nuclear missiles when I was born. I was on the first killer submarine with Jimmy Carter. My mother, on the other hand, was Eastern Star, raised through World War II, and was chased off by the Nazis and was raised by a witch. And so this was kind of my background and my genetic memory. So this led me to long travels and many questions to try and find out the reality of what's going on planet Earth. And so I began a TV show 6 years ago to start and explore this esoteric world, because I had come to the understanding now that there were secret societies involved, there were other thoughts, other paradigms involved. One simple look at the Nazis could say that our leaders are not exactly what they appear to be. And so since then, I have been predicting world events using esoteric knowledge to decipher the symbolic gestures that they give to us through the media.
Okay, I think you personally have had some experience with missing time, is that right?
That is very true.
Tell us about that.
I don't know if this is due to my family history, as many of the abductees are family related. So it would be in my history. I have many experiences as a child where I believe I remember seeing the UFO. I remember speaking with my friend about it and such. But then it became even more dramatic. And in 1996, I believe that was, 1993, I found myself on Daytona Beach witnessing a large rectangular craft. It seemed to be subdivided into four squares, but one solid mass of it was humongous. And me and my friend sat there and watched this. And for about 10 minutes, we thought. And we just sat there dumbfounded with nothing to say, and then followed it as it flew away. Now, this thing was massive, hanging out over Daytona Beach, and spring break was going on behind us. But it was nighttime, so party time. Well, we turn around to go back and tell all of our excitement to, you know, whatever stranger we might meet, you know, because that's the way it happens when you see something like that. And there were no people. The entire streets were empty. Now, this was filled with thousands of people. And now we're walking down an empty Daytona street, wondering if perhaps we were the last people on Earth, or that they had abducted everyone else. I mean, we had all kinds of Twilight Zone type thoughts going through our heads. And finally we ran into some people that were walking down, and we found out it was actually 5 hours later than we had thought. It was already 4 a.m. Everyone had gone home. And somehow in that 10 minutes of witnessing this UFO, we had lost those 5 hours. Now, curiously, I ran to my friend here in Lawrence, Kansas, where I now live, and he's just walking down the street. Turns out his girlfriend's going to KU, and he comes over and confirms the whole story without me ever bringing it up, which is a fantastic thing when you've got UFO stories to tell. But he reminded me that even on our way home, that we could not recognize the streets. We could not recognize where my house was. We were a bit mind-wiped after the whole scenario. But after this, I started predicting world events. I started to see what I call the Armageddon script. And I started to lay it out and tell people about it, and then that became my television show. And I've had a second experience as well, more recently. This one was a large V-shaped craft over Ogden, Utah, as I was on my way to go meet the high priest of the Church of Satan to discuss his device that he's building to open a portal for the old ones to enter. Now, Satanists are very interesting and a very intriguing study when you start to get into space war and you start to get into, well, techno magic. And so I wanted to discuss this with Rex Diabolus Church because, well, he was the only one I know developing some sort of Hellboy technology. And as we were on our way out there, we saw what looked like a planet off in the horizon, but it just seemed too bright, too big. We sat there and watched as it got larger, and then we saw that there were four plasma balls hovering underneath this thing. We honestly couldn't see the shape, but we could see these plasma balls, and it looked like a V-shaped craft. This flew directly over our car. Couldn't have been more than 10,000 feet in the air. And heading straight to Ogden, Utah, which to me was all kinds of esoteric because Og is the land of the giants in the Bible. And so we got the Den of Og there. This is a Mormon town, which connects it back to Freemasonry and the extraterrestrial hypothesis due to the Mormon belief system in the ET scenario. If you watch Battlestar Galactica, this is the Mormon belief system. So having this area, as not to mention this is where all the tax returns go on the west side of the United States, and they are the ones taking care of all of that, IRS there in Ogden, Utah. It was quite an unusual event. So I have had my share of, green fireballs, and of course these two major encounters.
You have quite a record, I think, of predicting world events, and for instance, did you or did you not predict 9/11?
I absolutely did, and I put up posters all around town. I spoke to everyone I knew, and now the thing was is that I was talking about this for 3 years before it actually occurred. And so many people got pieces of the puzzle as I described it. Now, most people look at us conspiracy theorists and go, yeah, whatever. But they find me intriguing, so they listen. So here I was during the Clinton era, watching the formation of Homeland Security, watching as they prepared Tom Ridge to take the office, knowing all of this was going to come to pass, but not knowing how they were going to manufacture this. So each October 1st, this Homeland Security came to Bill. And each October 1st, everybody shot it down as the most unconstitutional thing they had ever heard in their reality. So I knew that they were going to need an event. Now, as I was watching with Bill Clinton and his Monica Lewinsky scandal, I knew that this was psychological warfare. Never once, never ever, would any nation bring their leader before the full watching public and discuss the insertion of cigars in a secretary. This is psychological warfare. This was a destruction of our hearts by destroying this man of the people, because we've never really had a president like Clinton that was so much a man of the people playing his saxophone on David Letterman. And so this was an attack on our hearts. This was an attack on the man, the ideal of our president. And when they had done such a thing as to bring him out in front of everyone and turn purple, I knew that this would be the beginning of the downfall. So after I saw the destruction of the man, the president, then I said they're going to force a president into office. This will be the next psychological warfare in this scenario. And when I started to hear the rumblings of W, I had pieced this together through my study of corporate logos. Because I had gone through every corporate logo of any major corporation, McDonald's, Target, Walmart, you name it. And I have been able to decipher them within Masonic rituals. So every corporate logo I can take and identify as an aspect within Masonic ritual. When I got to Phillips 66, I was a bit lost. I mean, if you look at Shell in Texaco, then you've got a shell and a pentagram, and these are the symbols of Venus, and Venus being Lucifer. These all show up inside of a Masonic ritual after you raise to a Master Mason. So just as a couple examples. As I saw this W, okay, I'm studying the corporate logos, I get to Phillips 66, and what you must realize is that Freemasonry, who all of our corporate leaders are members of, I would say, well, any corporation that actually is a major player, they are members of the secret society. And this secret society of Freemasonry is based on Hebrew mysticism known as Kabbalah. So when you decipher corporate logos, you decipher certain things, you must recognize that you have to take it to Hebrew. So when I looked at 66, I saw not 66, I saw VV, because this is the letter of 6 in Hebrew. So W, what did it mean? Now they're bringing up a president. W, what did it mean? So simply, I looked it up in my Kabbalistic dictionary, and 66 is the number of the fallen angels. It's the number of those that have died insane. It's the dark side of the tree of life, what they call the Klefot within Kabbalistic magic. And you might even notice that on the 66, they have 6 points on the crest, and we're looking at 666. This led me over to Hitler's Volkswagen, his car of the people with its VW logo. Now, if you look at VW, you've got 2 Vs. You've got your 66 once again, but then you cross these 2 Vs, and you've got 3. So now you're at 666 in a Hebrew mysticism on your Volkswagen vehicle. And it was symbols and signs like this that allowed me to project into what was going to come. So I said W was going to be forced into office no matter what. And they were going to make it quite obvious that he was forced into office because they need your anger. And so when they announced that Jeb Bush had been the key pin in the whole thing of sealing the deal in Florida, I said, that's supposed to be there. That's supposed to make you angry. This is all a show. I predicted it. So once I'd seen W forced into office, then I knew this would be the year. So every middle of the September, I'd waited for some terrorist attack to occur to force this Homeland Security Department during the Clinton era. But once that didn't happen and they forced W in, as I said, and I knew that this, the number of the dark side, the number of the fallen angels, even in Star Wars, when they announced the killing of all the Jedi in the Star Wars number 1, or was it 3? They announced Execute Order 66. And this was the order by the Emperor to go and kill all of the good Jedi. So once again, we're back to the 66, the W. So even in our Hollywood films, is this all symbolized? And when this had happened, I said, okay, this is going to occur on 9/11. I updated my projection a bit by saying a specific date. The reason I picked 9/11 was that it was the day HW, which in Kabbalistic practice means Emperor of the Fallen Angels, had mentioned the New World Order for the first time publicly, 9/11/1990. And these guys are very ritualistic, so I knew that this would follow suit. So I picked on 9/11, and I really just guessed. And I said, there's going to be a major terrorist attack on 9/11. Don't freak out. This is for your reaction. When it actually occurred, I had no idea. I had a line of people at my door demanding how I knew. And I found this the most curious thing, was that 3 of these people, I had about a dozen, already had their $20 bills folded as the Twin Towers burning on 9/11, 2001. Now, as a conspiracy theorist, this was too far gone for me. Once again, psychological warfare, once again, the concepts being promoted into our minds. So they had actually had broadcast around the internet that you could fold your bill in such a way and it would show the Twin Towers burning on 9/11, on the very day it occurred. So this, to me, was even too far beyond. But this was how I predicted the 9/11 event. And I said afterwards that W would be the last American president and therefore setting the place for the birther movement.
Wow. You're bent, you know that?
Yes.
But
I'm never wrong.
Do what?
I'm never wrong.
Yeah, well, you know, I can see how mainstream media certainly would take a look at this and say what I just said, that you're bent. But you know, the fact is that reality is a very strange world, and it's a world that surface lurkers almost never see. Reality is not what's on the surface. Reality is what's producing what's on the surface. And reality is really bent. It really is. We've got a couple of minutes here before we have to step away for break, actually about a minute and a half or so before we step away for break. But let me ask you this. You mentioned something about Star Wars. Not the movie. You didn't mention it in that context, although you have talked some about the movie, which is kind of interesting because I think it does. I think Star Wars, the movie, has some huge clues in it as to what's coming up. But, oh, and by the way, the new affiliate station out in Nashville is AM 1610, The Force. That's what they're called. So, may the Force be with you in Nashville. But anyway, let me just ask you straight up, and then we'll get into some of the details about it. But we hear a lot of things about that there is a war going on out there in the stars, out there in space. From your perspective, is that reality?
Yes.
Okay.
I've been tracking the more down-to-earth space war. I have a section in my website on Freeman TV called the Space War News, because I knew that Barack Obama was going to bring down NASA and combine it with the Department of Defense. So the first thing you're going to see in my Space War News is Barack Obama saying, I will not weaponize space. The next thing you'll see in my Space War News is Barack Obama weaponizing space. And I have been tracking the method and the ploy that they've used, using Wernher von Braun's warning about using the Red Scare, the terrorists, asteroids, and the aliens. And I can clearly show how this has been expressed through the mainstream media. And I hope we get to talk a lot about this coming space war.
We are going to do that. When we have to, in less than a minute, we step away for break. So I really don't want to get into it too much right here, right now, because I don't want to get about two sentences out and then have to take the break. So, pardon me, when we come back from the break, I want to get into the space war thing, and I want to find out whether some of these rumors that I've been hearing, and that all of us have been hearing, have any substance to them. In other words, we've been seeing smoke. Is there any fire? Is there any evidence? Is it real? Folks, we'll be back right after this.
Member area since 2009. I really enjoy the fact that I have access to the Cape Pods that are archived. I download them to my computer, put them on my MP3 player, and I can listen to them at my leisure on my long commute to and from work. I'd really like to see you in our community. It's only $6.95 per month, and it is worth far, far more. I sincerely hope you will join today.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Freeman. And we are talking about some really bent, strange stuff. If you happen to be of the mindset of mainstream media. And as we went to break, Freeman, I had begun to talk about the space war. You are, I am told, quite an expert when it comes to this information about space war. But I think many people would say, space wars? What space war? Is there a space war? I didn't know there was a space war. So let's start off. I had already asked you, is there? And you said yes. So let's start off with, between who?
Oh, good one. Since we've already established that I'm bent, let me show you something that I did at 10 years old and analyze this just a little bit.
All right.
Now, this is a picture I drew at 10, and it's quite bizarre. I won the talent show or whatever, the art contest in the fifth grade. Now, what you'll see here are four space shuttles, which are the Columbia Endeavor for the discovery of Atlantis, right?
Okay.
And what I had done was drawn this image and put in what I thought was a spiral galaxy and then some sort of winged serpent. Now, I knew nothing about mythology or anything about exopolitics at this time. I was 10 years old. It was 1977. What you'll see on each of these space shuttles is I drew this little symbol. And I remember it so clearly at 10, putting that on there. And it's just a straight line with a little curved line. And I didn't think much of it, nor did I think much of this spiral galaxy or anything in the picture until it started to come to life. When I opened The Serious Mystery by Robert Temple, and he's describing a fish people that have spoken to the Dogon tribe of Mali, Africa, we find that the Dogon were given a symbol to symbolize Sirius. And sure enough, that is the very symbol that the Dogon used to symbolize Sirius. Now, if you've ever seen the tether experiment that occurred with the Columbia space shuttle, and they had a large tether that came off of the space shuttle to try and grab new energy out of the universe, but it seemed to grab too much energy, it cut loose, and it went off like a giant fluorescent bulb floating off into space. And around this floating tether, all of a sudden, were all these little craft going by. Well, I say little, but they were 2 to 3 miles in length by most people's standards. So we had massive amounts, 2 mile to 3 mile long craft going by. Well, they were identical and are identical. I've superimposed the craft over that picture, and they are identical to this thing that I've drawn in the center. David Sereda managed to decipher hyperdimensional physics out of it. He compared them to the Dropa stones found in China, which tell of a race from Sirius, and actually have the spiral with it, and even this little notch that showed up that you can see in the video and also on my picture. So now they had hyperdimensional physics starting to defy. So now we're looking at two different species dueling for planet Earth, and one is from Sirius, which seems to be in charge of our Freemasons, in charge of our space program, made connections. All of the Freemasonic lodges worshipped Sirius. Ancient Egypt worshipped Sirius as Isis. Now we have our International Space Station, what I call Isis. We have our Columbia Endeavor discovery of Atlantis. And I am really the only expert on our goddess Columbia, on America's goddess Columbia, which also relates back to the fish people, the merfolk. Then there's the other side, the Alpha Deponents. And this is a very exopolitical study of planet Earth on how civilization came to be. And when I started to find all the different connections between the Alpha Deponents and the Syrians, when you go to ancient Egypt, you see the Ennead, the Nine, these ruling gods, which are created by the Eight, which are the Ogdoad. And the Ogdoad are a reptilian and amphibian race co-joined to rule planet Earth. When I went to Manly P. Hall's Philosophical Research Society in Los Angeles, this was the door. The doors to the library, Philosophical Research Society of the 33rd Degree Mason, Manly P. Hall, who is an amazing lecturer, has one door showing the reptilians with slit eyes carved in wood on the door with people worshiping below them, and on the other door is a merfolk, a merman, an amphibian with the worshippers below him. And I have then found many connections between Sirius Alpha Draconis section on planet Earth. And I don't know what I was getting at 10 years old to draw this image, but it thankfully came out before Star Wars. The space shuttle most likely would have been X-Wings. But realize that the Freemasonic symbol for Sirius is the pentagram. And every lodge has you worship the pentagram after you are raised to the fifth or third degree, the Master Mason. And they mention Venus, and this makes some curious connections to Lucifer. But what I want to really point to is that our secret societies absolutely are dealing with extraterrestrial concepts, dealing with these types of thoughts. So there is that level of this picture, and that's just the esoteric levels. You know, we can talk about space war in a very direct, mainstream way as well.
We'll come back to the esoteric, because that does play a part in it, and it is something of great interest to me, and I think also to our audience. But let's talk about the nuts and bolts of the space war. What, when we talk about this space war, I mean, are we talking about people that have spaceships, people that are actually weaponizing these spaceships? Are we talking about conflicts between these spaceships and other spaceships? Is that what we're talking about here?
Well, at this very moment, it seems the space war is directed at humanity. At this moment, the X-37B is orbiting planet Earth in some classified orbit that no one can know. Some amateurs have tracked it. Now, what this is the super secret automated space shuttle, the mini space shuttle. They call it the Flying Twinkie. It's about the size of a pickup truck. And it's out there right now doing God knows what. Then we had the launch of the HTV-2, the hypersonic technology vehicle, which was lost twice. That one was recently launched. But what we are witnessing in our space war are the nations going extraterrestrial. We have Astana, Kazakhstan, to be one of the main spaceports in the Russian area. And this city is actually set up as a Seal of Solomon. If you look at it from the air, and you were talking about people in Nashville, they should go down to their Bicentennial Mall and have a look at this device and check out my esoteric adventures in Nashville. Because when you start to look at the space, at space programs, you really have to connect this with the secret societies that are manufacturing it. Almost every Mason, every astronaut that's gone in space has been Mason. I have very few, I honestly haven't found any that aren't, but I can't say definitively because I don't know them all. But most of them are members of these secret societies. So you start to have to take it in this other paradigm, this other mindset. But what we see is Astana launching into space, getting their space program ready. We see a space race going on, China combining the Russia-China alliance, and now Obama trying to combine NASA with the China space program. So our space race, as it were, is actually going to warfare in space, but not yet opposed to one another. But we do have all of these military projects going up into space, and currently the International Space Station is manned by Robonaut 2. He'll probably take over after the Suez rocket launch fail that Russia just had, because they're going to have to evacuate the International Space Station if they can't get another launch. But Elon Musk, who is the founder of PayPal, has come up with SpaceX. And they have their Dragon spacecraft that are prepared to dock at the International Space Station. So what I witnessed was Barack Obama's first day in office. He announced that he was going to couple NASA with the Department of Defense. They began to call this project the Ares Project. Now, Ares is Mars, and Mars is the god of war. So it was easy for me as a symbolist to see that they were going to move this to a wartime propaganda, to start to move the space program itself into a privatized sector, as I watched NASA astronauts already interacting with the SpaceX Dragon.
Okay, so let me break in here for just a moment and ask you to turn your microphone down just a little bit, because it's clipping on us here and it's beginning to break up. And we'll see if that helps a little bit. Okay, so the first, you notice that Barack Obama's... when he first took office, merged NASA with the Department of Defense. But, you know, actually, NASA was part of the Department of Defense always. They've always been on the Department of Defense organizational chart. Did something change?
He wanted to just bring this back to a straight military operation and do away with any of the public type moon landings and such. A lot of this is in progress. The bombing of the moon had a lot to do with this whole scenario of placing a base on the moon in order to establish true control over who could launch off of planet Earth. So,
okay, let's talk about bombing the moon for a moment. I assume that you're referring to the NASA La Crosse mission. And this is where it was not actually, at least what they told us, was not actually an explosive, but it was a high-speed impact of a spacecraft into a crater on the moon, Cabeus crater. Why do you call that the bombing of the moon?
Well, they had announced it that way, and I thought that was just so curious because of the coming of the space war, and I knew of the UN directorates against the space treaty, keeping space safe. So in their calling it the bombing of the moon, what I'm watching a lot of the time is what I call the satanification of America, so that the psychological warfare allows for people to say it's okay to destroy America. And so when we do egregious things like bomb the moon, then it makes it much easier for the UN and other overlording bodies to direct the attention towards how nefarious America is. This couples with Lady Gaga, Justin Bieber, and many other ways that they satanify us. But what I saw with the bombing of the moon was something truly curious, or what we could call a kinetic weapon, was that they announced that they were looking for water on the moon, and this was the purpose of the La Crosse mission, of crashing this 2-ton kinetic weapon into the moon. And what was curious is, as I was tracking, we had the Chandrayaan, the Indian from India, launching their Chandrayaan satellite to detect water on the moon, and they announced that they had found water on the moon long before we ever launched the La Crosse mission.
That is true. But you notice, as soon as the Indian Space Agency announced that they had found water on the moon, they lost their satellite.
Right.
And how did that happen?
The Kaguya, or what was known as the Selene, of the Japanese space program. And this one, they crashed into the moon. So we already had the crash impact study long before we launched the La Crosse as well.
All right, we have to take a break. And we'll be back, folks, right after this break. Do not go away. It gets more and more interesting. Welcome back. We're talking with Freeman this evening, and Freeman, you were explaining the La Crosse mission when we had to go to break. Pardon the allergies. All right, you were explaining the La Crosse mission when we had to go to break. Let's pick up with there. They announced they're going to do this. They're going to do this kinetic impact into the crater, looking for water. How is that space war?
Well, what was the curious part is why? Why bomb the moon? And for me, this went to another level. When you strike the moon, as they have found through the Apollo missions, it actually rings out like a gong. And they've tried different attempts to make it ring. And so this is what I believe the rocket stage crashing into the moon was to do, because ionospheric heaters such as HARP are actually capable of tomography, which is to be able to see inside of things, like Jurassic Park when they hit the ground and then they can see the dinosaur down there. In the same way, we can strike the moon and point an ionospheric heater in that direction and be able to see inside of the moon. And so it's my firm belief that that was the true purpose of bombing the moon. Now, the questions, of course, come, are there already races inside of the moon? Is this an ancient base because it's so mysterious and doesn't fit what we understand for most cosmology, and the moon is just a strange, strange thing? It's my belief that they did this to see inside of the moon. And in another way, to cause the psychological warfare of pointing the finger at America for being a wartime tribe. Because whoever controls a base on the moon, like I say, controls launches from planet Earth. And so it is a race to get their base there in order to stop other nations.
So do you think that America has already a base on the moon? Or do you think America is building a base or plans to build a base on the moon? What do you think about that?
I'm certain there's a base on the moon, and especially on the dark side. One of the reasons, and this is going to sound strange, but what hasn't, is the Disney connection. Now, Walt Disney Co. is nothing more than a military-industrial complex. My father built nuclear missiles for Martin Marietta. Martin Marietta has a ride in Disney World. Each person that goes into Disney World has to give up their credit card, their thumbprint, their facial recognition, and do everything necessary to walk into a Siemens planet Earth, spaceship Earth, as they call it. And once you start to understand what Disney is, then you can start to understand their programming that they use on us. And they have definitely covered this this base on the moon in their mission to Mars, as strange as that is. And as you launch in their ride, you will actually see a base on the dark side of the moon in their launch simulator they call Mission to Mars. They also have all of the locations of the landings on the moon already depicted on a big globe outside, on a big moon outside of this ride. Now, that is a strange source to say, but of course, I haven't been to the moon, so that's one of the ways that I could track this. And I do believe that we have been back to the moon many times. And I do also believe that what we saw on the landing footage was faked. But I do believe we went to them. So that, if I
well, that's interesting because, you know, that's what I've said. I have said that I think the evidence really does point to we went to the moon. But I don't think we saw the real moon footage. I think that was pre-programmed. I think it was pre-produced, and then that's what was shown to us. And I think probably some of what we've seen from Mars is that kind of stuff as well. But having said that, the reason I say that is it's quite easy to prove that some of the moon footage is hoaxed. I mean, it just is. Some of the moon footage from the Apollo days is hoaxed. But I don't think it's logical to connect hoaxed footage means that it was a hoaxed mission.
Right.
And the reason I don't think that's logical is because you're dealing with the military here. And we know that the military has flown more than one highly classified missions to the moon. They say unmanned. Maybe they were. Maybe that's the case. Maybe they were not unmanned, but they were classified. All we knew is that they did it. That's all we knew about it. And a lot of the photographs from those missions have never yet been declassified and released to the public. So, you know, I think we actually went to the moon, but I don't think that's what you, me, and the rest of the world saw. I think we saw the pre-produced video of alleged moon missions. Now, let's assume that's true. There are people, I'm not the only one, you think along those same lines. There are lots of other people who think along those same lines. So let's assume that's the case for a moment. And the question then would be, well, why did they do that? Why didn't they just show us what was on the moon? And my answer to that, and I want to get your reaction to this, my answer to that is because what was really on the moon was a thriving alien civilization. And gravity that is not one-sixth of the Earth, but probably 60 to 70% of the Earth. And water on the moon. And there are people still who are saying there's no water on the moon. And NASA even is saying, yes, there is, and a lot of it. So I think they didn't want us to see that that we had neighbors on the moon. They didn't want us to see that there is an atmosphere, but, I mean, you can see that with telescopes. It may be a thin atmosphere, but it's there. The clouds have been observed crossing the moon. Okay, so I think they just didn't want us to know that we live in a populated, not just a populated universe, but a populated solar system. So I think that's the motive. So let me get your reaction to that. What do you think?
I think that what they are covering is the ancient civilizations that were capable of planetary travel. I think that when we start to stretch back to, say, Baalbek, Lebanon, with 21-ton blocks that we can't possibly move in the 21st century, but yet there they stand, staring us in the face as if it were some sort of rocket launch platform. Not to mention many of the other anomalous things, such as the pyramids and such. But what I believe they found on the moon was a desiccated civilization. The glass domes that many have spoken of that were destroyed, that seemed to be destroyed in warfare. I personally believe that what had occurred was that there was a Death Star. Now, we have the moon Iapetus orbiting Saturn that looks just like George Lucas's Death Star in The Return of the Jedi. It's identical. It even has a 14-mile-high wall circling this whole thing. It has octagonal craters. It looks like a Bucky dome put together. Now, if we did have such a device, and now we are finding we have gravity trackers, NASA has announced their gravity tractors, so we have gravity manipulation. The ancient stories of the incoming of Lucifer or Venus, to me, using mythology to decipher some of this as well, is the idea of yanking a portion out of Jupiter and hurling it at another planet. And what I believe happened was at this point, the incoming...
Okay, let me get you to hang on to that thought because we have to step away for break. But don't forget that point, and we'll be right back. We'll be back, folks, after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Let me welcome all of you who are joining us just now in this second hour. My sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away for the first hour, but we're glad you're here now. I'm delighted you're here. I think you will be too. My guest this evening is Freeman of Freeman TV and Freeman Radio. Some of you are quite familiar with him because you are the ones who recommended that we invite him to be with us tonight, and he has graciously agreed to do so. He is with us, and as we went away for break, Freeman, you were talking about how Iapetus, one of the moons of Saturn, looks just like the Death Star. And you were about to make some connection with that and why they don't want us to know what's going on the moon.
So as we start to look at the puzzle, the ancient civilizations that had high technology in the past, we can see a war that could have occurred between the two planets of Earth and Mars. Mars was always known as a warring planet, and as I lived throughout mythology in that way, and same as the Aries program being Mars. So what I actually believe was occurring, and I have even believed that Atlantis might be Mars, that they used a gravity tractor, much like what NASA has now, only much more powerful, which was Iapetus. And was able to pull a chunk of Jupiter out. This formulates with mythos of Jupiter and Venus in mythology. And used the punch to throw this at their enemy, planet Earth, to try and take over. Now, the story goes that the Lemurians, or the Earthlings, were too powerful in their chi. They had such a psychic ability that whenever the Atlanteans or the Martians would attempt to attack, they would have instant karmic death. Any violence they wanted to bring upon this other planet would instantly come back to them. This is the mythology of Atlantis and Lemuria. Well, if they used such a massive device to throw a Lucifer, Venus, at this planet, what this did, what I believe occurred, was to knock the planets on a belt of the gravitational wave. It's my personal belief that Mars inhabited the space that Earth is now, and Earth was closer to the Sun. To me, this helps understand the darker-skinned public versus the white-skinned public. I personally believe the white folk come from Mars, and that they had to take over in such a devastating way. And when Earth had been a chunk removed from it, if we were to pull the oceans away, we would see that there is a massive portion of Earth missing, what we call the Pacific Basin. Then the moon gets placed. Okay, so what happens is the two planets jump a belt in their gravitational waves. Mars loses its whole atmosphere and all life on it. And yet that ocean and things remained in the circle, the orbit, and then collided with planet Earth, bringing the oceans to Earth. Earth expanded when it moved further from the sun, and this caused the plate tectonic shift. It wasn't a massive, slow movement. It's actually a quick expansion that then, you know, caused all this devastation on planet Earth that all of the ancient tribes speak of. And then the ocean collided, and this brought other life to planet Earth that came from Mars, and caused what we call the deluge, or the floods. And in this way, then the Martians were also lost without the planet and came to planet Earth. And this might be the arrival of white man in the Caucasus Mountains, because we are such kind of mystery as to how white man came to planet Earth. I think this might explain some of that. This is all theory at this point, but a lot of people, Velikovsky, or there's many that have covered this type of subject. So I'm not alone. But then the
bent, you're like, bent, but not alone, right?
I'm sorry.
You're bent, but not alone.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's
but
a good
then the
thing.
Moon would be taken from Mars and actually placed around Earth in such an orbit to stabilize the wobbling hunk, and then they could recolonize.
Okay. So, back to the space war. That's the ancient space war.
Right.
What about right now?
Things are moving much different than people think, and the technology is already in place in mainstream or far beyond what most of the public are noticing. The ideas that ISCAT in Sweden, their ionospheric heater, is capable of sending Dorito commercials to Ursa Major. This is sending a radio frequency wave to another star system. Then we simulcast the day Earth stood still to Alpha Centauri, which is believed to be the closest inhabited galaxy to ours. And if you've watched The Day the Earth Stood Still, this is not a message you want to send to some other aliens that might come to invade, because it basically says humans are a warmongering tribe. You might as well just be destroyed, unless we can learn how to say a lot.
All right, well, let me comment on that just a moment. And also, your microphone is beginning to clip quite a bit again. So the notion that extraterrestrials might look at us and say, well, we're a warlike tribe, a warlike people, And there are, every time I make this comment or something similar, I get email from people who are kind of miffed about this. But the fact is, we are warlike. I was born in 1953. Now, that was right at the, some people say that was at the end of the Korean conflict. Ladies and gentlemen, that conflict never ended. There was never a peace treaty. A state of war still exists between North and South Korea, and Americans are still on the line over there. Since 1953, there has never been a time in my life when the world was not at war. And for most of that time, America has been at war. And it's not good enough to have just one war going. We've got three or four going right now. I mean, you know, we're in Iraq, we're in Afghanistan, Somalia, Yemen, and Libya. That's five. And so the idea that we are not warlike is fantasy. We, the people of Earth, are warlike. If there's not, if everybody in the world woke up the same color tomorrow morning, and we were all the same height, same weight, and we all had exactly the same amount of money, and we were stinking rich, by noon we would find a reason to go to war. We are warlike. So I think any extraterrestrial race looking at us would be foolish not to notice that. What do you think?
They're using that ploy right now, saying that if we don't turn green, aliens are going to kill us. And by green, I mean, you know, environmentally friendly. Personally, I have met too many humans to believe that we are as violent as we seem. I believe that this has a lot to do with trauma-based mind control and the use of psychological warfare, as I've described it in many ways. It was very hard to get people to shoot each other in the Revolutionary Wars. It's been very hard to get humans to kill one another. So we established a trauma-based mind control center we call the military to recondition these humans into warlike tribes. Then, when you look at the reasons we fight, it's always for the positive. They always lead us to the idea that this is the right thing to do. And so I personally believe that humans are a beautiful, loving, generous, kind, caring creature, and that all the warmongering is actually using our goodness against us by secret societies that are ruling the social strata, ruling our minds through the different programming.
Currently, okay, so what you're saying is that humans, left to our own natural, normal devices, would not be warlike.
I believe.
Okay, so the warlike tendencies that we see, then, if I understand what you're saying, are programmed into us by the puppet masters.
Absolutely. We can see this clearly right now in what I call the Princess Warrior programming. And this, once again, is Lady Gaga, Beyonce, and Walt Disney. When you saw Beyonce come out in the VMA Awards with stormtroopers behind her, when we see the military-type programming coming out, what they have done is turned our thoughts of justice to vengeance and to violent justice. And so now, as we are presented with our heroes, and we know that the heroes program us, and this has always been the ploy of the secret societies, is to use our heroes to program the rest. And what they have done is turned all of the heroes into dark villains. So as a clear example, we watched the death of Superman and the breaking of Batman. Now, this may seem outside, but this is programming the children. And what we found was that they replaced Batman, or Bruce Wayne, with a character named Azrael. And that is one of the fallen angels that taught warfare to mankind within the Book of Enoch. What this Batman began doing was ripping people's spines out in bloody warfare, And the public freaked out because this was not their Dark Knight, their detective, their usual Batman that doesn't kill. And they had to bring Bruce Wayne back to destroy the Azrael as the Bat. Superman, he was killed as well by a character named Doomsday, and he was replaced by 6 clones. But really, the story died there, and what raised was a character named Hellspawn, who was fighting rapist pedophiles in their comic books, and this was put out by Image Comics and Todd McFarlane. So in many ways, or if we go to the Hollywood representation, we have Alan Moore doing much programming, and he is a high-level magician that uses Hollywood to program children, and this is why all of our constitutional fighters, Anonymous, are wearing the Guy Fawkes masks now. And Guy Fawkes, of course, was a vicious killer in this B for Vendetta. And I can go on and on how Neo was a dark hero, a slasher killer hero. So what they're doing is programming this type of dark warrior into the men. Meanwhile, all the girls are being programmed. And I'll challenge you. Walk down your Walmart aisle. Walk down your Target aisle. Go to your children's section. Look to your left. Look to your right. You're going to see all your pink princesses on your right. You're going to see baby bubblegum cell phones for the girls. You're going to see the jewelry. All of the princess programming, most of it from Disney, Hannah Montana, the three princesses that you see now, all of these princesses have had their mothers killed. And this is another part of the programming, is the death of the mother. And then you see on your left-hand side, you've got all your Star Wars, Terminator, G.I. Joes. And it's the same Barbie G.I. Joe programming that they've used over the years, but now it's Hannah Montana and Transformers. You'll see Clone War Victory. You'll see all of this type of programming right there in your Walmart, right there in your Target. These are conditioning the humans to be warlike.
Okay, I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to invite the audience to join us and participate in the show. I know that for some people, what you are describing is new information. For some people, it's not. For some people, it's very out there information. And for other folks, it's not. Folks, you've heard me say that philosophy isn't done in books of philosophy. It's done in the movies. Theology is not done in books of theology. When's the last time you read a book of theology? It's done in the movies. It's done in music. Okay? It's the cultural milieu. That's where it happens. So we're being, according to Freeman, programmed to be warlike, and programmed, I would think, towards the coming Star War or Star Wars. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. We also have, and it doesn't matter whether you're calling from east of the Rockies or west of the Rockies, okay? That's the phone number, 623-444-5889. The flash message option is open for those of you who are not in the USA and you're not in Canada. You can use the flash message option if you like. You can call us because that number will work anywhere on the planet. Or you can do something else. If you're not in the USA and not in Canada, you can use the flash message option. And the flash message option is easy. You just go to my website and scroll down, and you will see a picture about tonight's show. And right above that picture is a link that says flash message. But what interests me here is that the common thread in everything you're talking about is that there has been mind control going on with our species from extremely ancient times right up till today. And now I want to ask you, so who is in charge of doing this mind control? Who sets the agenda?
This is a curious note, and I've been kind of tracking this one now to try and see if I could find an answer to that question. Because there are so many groups involved, we're looking at esoteric orders, secret societies, Jesuits, the Prairie of Zion, the Freemasons, even the OTO, Ordo Templi Orientis, that are playing heavy roles inside of this. The Vatican, of course, is a main player, a major player. And when we look to these city-states, we can almost see the extraterrestrial influence. When you go to the Vatican and you see the Pope in his fish hat and his symbols of Dagon, this is leading back to the Syrians and the concepts of the extraterrestrial race from Sirius and the Merfolk. But when we go to the city of London, of course, we've got the dragon, and this is going back to the Alpha Draconis. So then you've got the Vatican, which is... The Syrians were known for their high technology, for their understanding of how to manipulate the universe. And the Alpha Draconians were known for their violence and their, they're nearly indefeatable. But they could never battle, really, with these Syrians because they had such high technology. When you look to the puzzle, you find the Vatican combining with CERN. You find them with their Lucifer telescope. We find all of their high technological advancements going on underneath. Then you get to the city of London, you've got the scarcity, you've got all of the traits of the Alpha Draconians. And then when you get over to America, most of our symbolism goes back to Sirius, and we are basically the war machine of this very tribe in this very situation. But what I found was that there are a number of elite that, say, the Astors or the Rockefellers and Rothschilds that are actually in contact through esoteric rituals, through ritual magic, with what's known as the Nine or the Ennead. And you'll find this in the Hollywood pictures as well. Watch for the Nine. They talk about this a lot. And it seems as if through their rituals, now magical rituals are designed to invoke or evoke entities in other dimensions. And this boils into CERN and the RHIC, the RIC Collider, in punching holes through into the other dimensions, much like Rex Church was trying to do with his device. This is the concept that I see with them. They are using ritual magic to make contact with otherworldly beings, and these otherworldly beings are known as the nine gods of Egypt, or Osiris, Isis, Nephthys, Geb, you know, the whole list there. And that, through this channeling, it's actually the control mechanism.
All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, Kevin, this is Mike from Kentucky.
Hello, Mike.
And hello, Freeman. Peace profound. And what I wanted to ask...
Hang on, Mike. Hang on Freeman. Just a second. Mike, hang on. Freeman, okay. Can you hear Mike?
Yes.
Okay. All right, Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to ask him, when talking about the space... war that the United States is involved in, and I want you to know that I wholeheartedly agree that that's why the public space program, manned space program, has been done away with, and that all of these so-called accidents may not actually be accidents. But are you suggesting that the technology that they're using in the military is just conventional rocket-type craft being flown up there with conventional rockets and that, or are you suggesting that they are using anti-gravity craft that have been, created out of the crash vehicles?
Both. When I'm trying to show people the space war, this was the Wernher von Braun plan in weaponization of space. And so the use of asteroids and then aliens, as we're in now, to foment this space war. Immediately, as Barack Obama came into power, the first thing they did was announce the incoming of Apophis. And Apophis is the serpent deity of destruction of Akhenaten. And they used Apophis, or the fear of Apophis, this massive asteroid that could collide with Earth in 2029, although they've said that it probably won't. But they used the fear of it to start JPL's near-Earth asteroid, near-Earth object operations. They put up the space-based space surveillance system. They placed out numerous infrared witnessing devices such as the Alpha Magnetic Spectrometer, the IRAS and WISE. These were all devices used to weaponize space, which is really more for the control of humanity than an extraterrestrial force. But now, as the asteroids, fireballs, now one thing that I was tracking were the anomalous fireballs that were coming in that were causing sonic booms and then followed by earthquakes, which had no bolide or no rock to cause the effect. And this led me to the understanding of the cloud of care in the Norway spiral and some of the devices that they are now using. So when we look to the cloud of care, the charged aerosol release experiment, this was a military project launched off of Virginia at the Wallops Flight Facility, which is also known as Mars. And they launched a aluminum oxide cloud up in the upper atmosphere that spiraled out and well, when they reported on the news, they acted as if it was an alien invasion. I have all the news stories in my Space War News and in my videos on this. So you can see that they took this military operation and turned it into what they thought was a UFO. Maybe this isn't get to the answer to your question, but I think that this is important. Because the next thing to follow was that Norway spiral. It was an aluminum oxide cloud as well. You could tell so by its blue form in that it was sapphires, because that's what aluminum oxide is, and this was pulsed with an ionospheric heater. What this might create are these massive fireballs that are causing earthquakes and sonic booms. I don't know. But to answer your question, it's both. I have witnessed the large V-shaped craft that was an anti-gravitic craft that I know was earthbound there in Ogden, Utah, as we covered earlier. And then I also want to point out to you the space war that is actually pointed at you, as opposed to the one that's pointed at extraterrestrials.
I'm aware of the false flag operations that go on. I've served in groups in the past that made me aware of what was going on under DARPA. But I know that as far as I personally am concerned, they don't have anything on me because I'm not afraid of them. They can't, you know, can't use false flag on me. So, and I suggest that everyone else, you know, that is listening to this show, stand up and tell them, no, we're not going to be fooled by this stuff. Because Hitler did it. All these great people all down through history have used that kind of technology and the brainwashing skills against the people, and the people just cowered under it. Those that didn't rose up and overthrew them. And so I think that's where we are right now. We either going to let them put us down through all this false flag stuff, or we're going to get rid of them.
Mike, you've heard me say it many, many times. The most powerful word in any language is no. Absolute power. You know, powerful people are only as powerful as the rest of us let them be. And when we learn the word no, that's the end of the power. Mike, I want to thank you for the call. We have to step away for a break. And we shall return right after this. Find your fingers in your phone. Give us a call. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Freeman. Freeman, I sort of didn't give you a chance to respond to Mike there because right at the end because we had to go to break. So I want to give you the opportunity to finish whatever thoughts you have about that. I had just said that, you know, the most powerful word in human language, any language, is the word no. I'll give you a chance to respond to that.
Well, I believe one of the strongest powers humanity has is our power of synchronicity. This is something that's been written out of our script and isn't given to us as any sort of methodology. We are born into a very linear reality when actually we can function quite well laterally. And so, personally, I believe noncompliance would open this planet to a whole new paradigm of existence. And that people are frightened of noncompliance because they don't know of synchronicity. They don't realize that the universe is actually working in their favor. And if they give up to the system and allow it to flow forward, all of their dreams would actually come true and they would live to their true soul's potential.
Okay, I have a flash message here from Shay in the United Kingdom. And Shay says, this is addressed to you. You don't seriously believe in Lucifer in the 21st century, do you?
I have a different understanding of Lucifer than what is classically presented, and I do cover this pretty much in depth on my website. I have a whole article on Obama and Lucifer. You know, because Barack Obama, the words actually mean lightning from heaven. And if you go look it up in your concordance, in your Hebrew, you'll see that in the language of Jesus, in Aramaic, where it says in the Bible, and Satan fell like lightning from heaven, which is the usual term that people use to say that this was Lucifer's fall to become Satan. There's no proof and no connection in the Bible to Satan and Lucifer, never. But people want to adjust this and make this so, and so they mention this very phrase. Well, if you were to read it in Jesus's language, it would say, and Satan fell like Barack Obama, because Barack Obama means lightning from heaven. But I personally believe that this is part of the satanification that I was talking about, because on top of this, if you play his catchphrase backwards, yes, we can, you can clearly see it says, thank you, Satan. It's obvious. I also have that very
Wait a minute. Well, hang on just a minute. You're talking about if you do reverse speech on Barack Obama saying, yes, we can. It says what?
Thank you, Satan.
Are you absolutely 100%, totally, completely, unambiguously sure about that?
I'd bet my life on it.
Wow.
It's absolutely true. There's so many connections with him being some sort of an antichrist. Even the connection between Nostradamus' prediction for the end of the world. He said that when Mabus dies, the antichrist would rise. Well, strangely enough, Barack Obama put Ray Mabus in charge of space war. He is now the admiral of the U.S. Navy, which is in charge of the Space Force. And so now Mabus is in charge of our space war.
So, see, now I told you you're bent, and now here is the proof. Okay, so what you're saying is that Ray Mabus, look, this thing with Nostradamus and Mabus, there have been books written about trying to decide who is Mabus, what is Mabus, and you're saying it's a real person with the name Mabus, and that he's in charge of our space war, and when he dies, then the Antichrist is unveiled, right?
Yes. This is the Nostradamus prediction. It just happened to correlate into my whole story of Obama cloning in the coming space war. So when this occurred, it, you know, it just shocked me, because as I start to uncover these things, they tend to uncover themselves. I have much to say about Barack Obama and the truth of who he is and what purpose he may serve.
Are you political?
I'm sorry?
Are you political?
I am not political. I don't consider myself a patriot of any kind. My family is somewhat of a mutt breed. So no, I'm not a patriot, because I understand the difference of how things were created and then how they are told that we're created. The idea, I mean, first of all, somebody tell me where the name America came from. Somebody tell me who designed the American flag. What building did they come out of when they threw the Austin Tea Party? Once you start to piece this together, get the occult roots of our creation of America, and understand the Freemasonic roots to it all, then you start to have a whole nother picture, because you can't believe in the whole lie or the, you know, George Washington never did chop down a cherry tree.
Okay. So when you talk about Barack Obama, I have two questions about this. First question, when you talk about Barack Obama and your perception that he is the Antichrist, is that correct? That's your perception?
No. I do not follow a theological view as well, but I do believe in an Armageddon script, an outline, much like Tim LaHaye gave us with Left Behind, and that they will fulfill this agenda using curious means such as holograms and the whole blue beam type program to bring about this type of scenario where we believe that there is an Antichrist. No, I personally believe Barack Obama is a clone of an ancient pharaoh.
Clone of an ancient pharaoh. I'm familiar with your work on that. We'll talk about that. But, okay, so when you talk about Barack Obama, it isn't because you have an interest in bringing him down politically?
No, I don't believe in politics, and I predicted W's forcing. I predicted that Obama would be considered a non-American citizen. These are easily provable on my website. So, no, I don't believe in politics. I believe in the drama, the stage show, as all of these elite have always used against us, the puppet show.
Okay. So the second question is this. You've said a great deal about Barack Obama, even on this show here tonight. We're going to allow you to tell us a little bit about you're connecting him with an ancient pharaoh. We're going to do that. But here's the question. You said a lot of things about him that I'm sure he and his advisors would not consider to be flattering. Have you encountered any rough waters as a result of that?
You know, strangely, no. I think that might have a lot to do with my freewheeling belief, or just that I don't believe I'm in trouble. I'm ready to stand up and have my soul shine. So I wonder if they can even touch me in that way. But no, I've never run into any issues. And maybe it's just because I am a bit bent that they don't worry about me, because, you know, no one in the main public is ever going to really take to heart what I'm telling them. Believe that.
All right. Several weeks ago, in fact, several months ago, I did a show about Akhenaten. Our listeners who have been with us for some period of time, they're not brand new listeners, will remember the show that I did about Akhenaten. And during the research for that show, I ran across your work on this. I ran across photographs or pictures, graphics, where you have imposed Barack Obama's face on half of the face of Akhenaten's statue. And it's amazing. He looks like him. All right. But, you know, there are people that say I look like Gerald Ford, too. Especially if I don't have my hat on and you can see my bald head. People say, well, you look just like President Ford. Well, to me, I don't. But a lot of people have told me I do. So just looking like somebody is no big deal. What's the story with this where you have him sort of connected with Akhenaten?
Now, I would agree. If it were simply one photograph and I just put these two together and it was Barack looking like Akhenaten, I would have never made a deal about it, except in the connection that he happens to be battling Apophis with the Space War. Which is Akhenaten's serpent deity of destruction, or really the first Satan. When we start to look at this puzzle, it really amazed me, because I didn't expect what happened to happen. And what happened was, as we started to get deeper, and I had put out a picture of Barack Obama battling an incoming asteroid as Akhenaten. I called him Barack-a-Naten. And then they announced this incoming asteroid being Apophis, which is Akhenaten's Satan. Akhenaten, of course, was the founder of monotheism, and I'm sure you covered much of that. Even that Freud thought right. That he was Moses, or at least studied with Moses. There's a lot of connections, and if you go to Manly P. Hall's Secret Destiny of America, you'll see that chapter 2 is Akhenaten, the man born 2,000 years too soon. This is one of the main people for the secret society belief systems. And then he is also a main character in the ancient astronaut studies, so we have the whole character of Akhenaten with his cone head and his weird hermaphroditic body. Now, they did find a mummy that they believed to be Akhenaten's, and it was the KV-55 mummy. And they left this a mystery because the first two doctors to look at Akhenaten or this mummy's body, one determined it to be a male, the other determined it to be a female. And this was the strangeness of Akhenaten's hermaphroditic stance and the way he looked. And because he had brought about the most realistic artistic era of Egypt, to have himself depicted with cone heads and breasts or, you know, these wide hips was very bizarre. But then it grew. I mean, this wasn't the beginning. I would have just let that roll off as a crazy coincidence. But then we see Barack Obama's wife, Michelle Obama. Now, Michelle Obama is a very strange character as well. Her mother practicing Santeria in the White House, Barack saying, get that voodoo stuff out of my office. She was raised in a very interesting place. But so was Akhenaten's mother, Queen T. She's a very strange Nubian that was placed into power when she really shouldn't have. And when I took Michelle Obama's high school photo and I took Queen T, Akhenaten's mother's photo, and I put those together, people don't even know I did it. They can't even tell that there's two faces there. They are so identical. And then, as I'm speaking through a little deeper into Akhenaten's history, I come to his picture with his wife, Nefertiti. And in the picture shown his two daughters. So I go and I find a close-up bust of these two daughters. My God, if they're not Leia and Sasha, they're identical. Identical. So now it's the whole family. It's not just one random picture. It is one singular Egyptian family that is the Barack Obama family.
Okay, I grant you, having looked at the pictures, certainly they look like them. But that still doesn't make a strong connection, does it?
No. There's still more.
Okay.
Because on top of this, the Secret Service had given them names. And they called Obama renegade. Now, this is what they called Akhenaten. And when you look to the definition of renegade, it's one that turns on his people, his religion, and or Christian turned Muslim. So this fit right into the World War III propaganda. Michelle was known as Renaissance, which is a rebirth or a bringing back, right? So this is, again, the rebirth. And then the daughters were known as Radiance and Rosebud. And these are the only two other things in the image of Akhenaten with Nefertiti, and the two daughters are the rays of the Aten, the Radiance, and the Rosebuds are flowers that they're offering up to it. Now, again, this is spurious. This is the Secret Service names, but they fit perfectly. So as I started to look at this puzzle, people said, well, do they even have Akhenaten's DNA? Can they clone a mummy? Well, absolutely. You go to Nature magazine, prestigious magazine, 1984, 1985. I have the article up there showing you that we already have cloned a mummy.
Okay. All right. So hold that thought. We have to step away for break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. So hang in there. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on Final Approach, and we've got some flash messages to get to. So, Mike, thank you for your call. Those of you who have been sitting on your thumbs and didn't call, you don't have a chance now. It's not punishment, but we're just out of time. So we have to get to the flash messages that we've got. And, Freeman, you... You were telling us about DNA as we went to break.
Yes, in 1985, the New York Times covered the Nature magazine article on the cloning of DNA from an ancient mummy from 2,400 years ago, which was the time of Akhenaten. So it's already been established that we absolutely can clone mummies, and this has been one of the things of ancient astronaut researchers, is the fact that even in our modern day, we cannot reproduce the mummification of the ancient Egyptians. Stalin and Lenin are both rotting in their mummy wraps. They're just not going to last. They're trying to figure out right now what to do with Lenin as he's rotting. So there is a mystery behind mummification that we've yet to figure out. And it does save a viable cell throughout time. Now, the question was, did they have Akhenaten's DNA? We had this KV-55 mummy mystery rolling for over 100 years, and no one being able to establish whether this was truly that king or not. And all of a sudden, Barack Obama comes out, and he loosens the restrictions on stem cell research. Now, this is where cloning comes from. He said that he would not allow human cloning for reproduction, but being a lawyer, he left out human cloning for experimentation. Now, six adult stem cells, were just launched to the International Space Station to test longevity, to try and find longevity for humans. So right at this moment, with Robonaut 2 on the ISS, is the stem cells of humans. What we found was, all of a sudden, they leak out after Obama announces the release of restrictions on human cloning, that they do have the DNA of Akhenaten and Queen T and the daughters. And they slipped this out, and it was a curious way. What they did was run around with Anubis, the god of the underworld, the god of the dead, showing up all over America with all of Akhenaten and Queen T's special items. I went and witnessed this myself and watched Zahi Hawass, the ex-secretary of the Giza Plateau, meet with George W. Bush and Barbara at the Dallas Museum. I was there. They went around and showed all of Akhenaten's stuff everywhere, with Anubis following all around. But what had occurred was they did a Discovery Channel with Zahi Hawass special on who's the father of King Tut. Now, King Tut, everyone knows about. When Barack Obama went to the pyramids, they made jokes about him being like King Tut. They made statues of him as King Tut. And when you really look, he's not King Tut. He's King Tut's dad, Akhenaten. And what they announced in the finding of who was King Tut's daddy was that they had the DNA of Akhenaten all along. And when questioned about this, Zahi Hawass himself said that the DNA was kept as a national security secret. I have this all database. So now we know they have the DNA. We know they have the capability of cloning a mummy. And we have yet to agree whether or not human cloning occurred in the Nazi era and times beyond. But we have Dr. Zavos. We have the Raelian movement speaking before Congress about human cloning back in the 90s. Maybe it was 2000 when they announced that they had birthed their first human clone. Dr. Zavos had to go to Saudi Arabia to do his human cloning, because it's currently illegal in America. But we have all kinds of human cloning bans coming up left and right because the technology is there. Yeah, it took them 277 tries to get Dolly out of a udder cell, but they did it. And if you think that our military are any less concerned about life, that they wouldn't go through 270-odd human stem cells to come up with a clone, then you're sorely mistaken. And then you could even add to this the Fox News report on the clone of Barack Obama, who is doing commercials in Indonesia, a man who is identical, maybe one of the followays that they couldn't quite use. Then you add to the fact that no one ever saw Barack Obama at a university. There's not a single person to say that this man ever existed before. There are many, many reasons to lead to this hypothesis and to believe this theory.
So it's your theory that our president is a clone.
The whole family. And in this way, it could play into the Antichrist script or the Armageddon script, because they could actually shoot Barack Obama in the head, as Michelle warned that it might happen, and then bring him back to life. And this would fill that Antichrist, that wound to the head, and still live.
Well, I want to go on record as saying, as I have many times, regardless of what folks' political views are and regardless of what they think about Barack Obama, he is the president, and I hope absolutely nothing happens to Barack Obama. I hope that because he is the President of the United States, he stays happy and healthy. and that there's absolutely nothing happens to him. I want to get very quickly to a flash message that we have from Australia. This is from Lauren. Your theory about Obama and Akhenaten sounded blinkers to me until I went to your website and saw the photos. Simply amazing, mate. Yeah, it is. It is. I have to tell you, Freeman, I don't know what I think about your theory about him being a clone. It's a whole bunch to try and put a mind around.
Absolutely.
So, and look, if he is a clone, we're almost out of time here very quickly. If he's a clone, who did it?
The Nazis. Well, societies ranging around the Nazis, the Thule, the Viril societies, the esoteric orders like the Freemasons up in the higher realms, the higher echelons that wish this man to return, they would be the ones that would pull such a string to make us, well, act the way they want us to act.
Okay, so you're saying the Nazis didn't go out of business?
Oh, no. The Nazis came straight to America. We know, of course, Project Paperclip. We've got Wernher von Braun, all the connections with NASA, how this has always turned out. We can see the Nazi agenda unfolding in our fast food market, in their eugenics program. I'm sorry, that's probably a way out there topic. But the Nazis did not go away. They simply are the secret societies of America. And also in South America, where Bush and Cheney are buying large plots of land, where a town of Twin exists that most believe were started by Mengele.
Okay. Outstanding. Freeman Radio and Freeman TV, the Freeman Perspective. Folks, if you like the alternative information and you like information that will bend your brain and cause you to have to think, you need to check out Freeman's website. You can click his picture on my website. It will take you to his website. Or you can just go to freeman.tv, freeman.tv. And, man, there's a lot of stuff there. You can't come away from that site without an opinion. You will get an opinion one way or the other. You will formulate an opinion one way or the other when you go to that site. I think it's interesting information. I think it's information people need to check out. Freeman, thanks for being with us this evening. And if you will, just stay on the line with me for a moment as I bring this in for a landing, okay?
Thank you so much, Kevin.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That's a wrap. And it's been fun, and it's been real, and it has been real fun. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.